we'll be up and down the slope once again. We've got a full house, and last night one of us made the long, long trip up to Dingwall. Harry, how you doing, mate?
I'm shite, mate, being honest. I'm shite. I'm gutted. Back down in London, not in Scotland anymore. And all I wanted was a nice wee going away present for Hibs. Obviously, nobody's entitled to a win, but I thought they could at least put a fucking performance in. I thought last night was shambolic, mate, and I'm still pretty pissed off now. I'm probably jumping the gun there, but yeah, that's how I'm feeling.
That's all right, mate. Greg, how you doing?
Harry times two. I didn't make a journey, but I'm
and you're not in London, much, but other than that.
Other than that, Harry times two.
Liam?
Eyes and loads of football, eh? On Monday, I was hungover as fuck, but at least Hibs won, so there was an element of me that's happy. Now I'm feeling much fresher, and I've got the whole of Hibs losing, so I think the moral of the story is, as long as I'm hungover, I'm probably more likely to be happy, so I plan on doing something about that this weekend.
Fair enough. Excuse me, sorry. Well, as you can hear, I'm still fucked. Harry, like I said, you went up to Dingwall last night, so you can kick us off. I thought we were all right in the first half.
We had a few good chances, but I just didn't think we really had the same intensity that we had in the game against Rangers. Like, I think the reason that it frustrated me so much was because I thought we were so, so good on Sunday. I thought everything that we wanted for the team that we hadn't got, the intensity, the full 90 minutes, going for it back and forth. But when we're on the ball, I just didn't think we moved it forward too often. I thought that Jake Vaile-Hayes, as good as he was on Sunday, I thought he was every bit as bad the other night. I just thought he looked lethargic on the ball and uninventive. I thought Joe Newell actually had an alright game. But yeah, Josh Campbell, like, I really like Josh Campbell. I think he's got a good future if he's used well. But it frustrated me the other night. Every time he got the ball, he lost it. He just didn't look confident on it at all. He was probably the most polar opposite to the way he played in the semi-final. But yeah, no, first half, I didn't think, I think 0-0 at half-time was a fair reflection. I didn't think we deserved to be in the lead, and I don't think they did either.
Liam, it's always an interesting debate in terms of how people view the game when you're at the game as opposed to not at the game. I think we've spoke about that at the start of this season and compared to last season. What were your thoughts on the game last night?
Not hugely dissimilar to Harry. Probably a few different points that I would pick up. I think on that point, it would be about versus being at the game and at the game. I think we all kind of picked up last season that I think we see football in a slightly different way when you're actually at a fixture and probably feel very differently about it. So I think there is some validity in discussing the different viewpoints of the game. In terms of the Hibs performance, I think what Harry says about Josh Campbell is fair. I think actually Josh Campbell, all that was for me was a regression to the mean. So that's the footballer he is. He's a footballer who, that's probably his level, that performance last night. He put on a performance at Hampden, which was very good without the ball. I think actually with the ball, that's the kind of player he is in reality. He's not a Kyle McGuinness, and I don't think we should be expecting Kyle McGuinness levels from him. But I think the first half, we created enough chances to go into the break with, at the very least, a lead of some description. We didn't take them. Some very tame finishing from a centre-forward that's out of confidence, and one of the best chances falls to Paul Hanlon, who is probably one of the last people on the pitch I would pick for that chance to fall to. So, yeah, first half for you.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, Liam. I felt like, well, ultimately we should have probably been at least one, if not two, up. Like, I think Hanlon's unlucky, you know. Like, I think he does well enough, keeps the shot down, and obviously hits the post very easily. Could have went into the bottom corner, but Kevin Nisbet's headers, respect the first one. The first one is, he's sort of, I know it's maybe a bit awkward because he's sort of running straight onto it. Like, it's maybe difficult for him to find the angle, but it's a free header, what, 6-7 yards out? Like, he's running onto it. The second one, at least he's trying to find the corner. He's put it back across goal, but and missed the target, but the first one was just tame and right down the keeper's neck. Like, I've just, it was a great chance. I was just watching on the stream online. I didn't even have commentary. So, like, it was, like, you know, I mean, like, you would, there was just no reaction, you know what I mean? Like, you just, it could have just passed by. Greg, what did you make of the first half? And I guess out with the chances we've mentioned, there was obviously a potential red card in there as well for, was it Jordan Tilson?
Yeah, I mean, see, for me, I actually don't think it's a red card. I think it's possibly borderline. I think there was an incident in the first half when Nisbet got booked. and then the Ross County player done the exact same thing and didn't get
booked. High foot.
Yeah, for me that was frustrating. Like the red could have been the challenge on Cadden could have been a red, based on what we've seen in recent weeks from referees. So all we ask for is consistency with refereeing decisions, but you don't seem to get that at all. So it's frustrating. With that, I actually thought we were okay. For the first half, we weren't bad. We moved it about quite well. We had control of the game. The chances we had, we should be scoring, but I actually got into half-time feeling all right, and I thought that we looked fairly fresh considering.
Yeah, I think we all sort of commented on that at half-time. I was surprised with the first half performance. I expected us to be quite slow coming out the blocks, maybe try and ease our way into the game, but I felt like we took control of the game pretty quickly. And I think I've went on record on here saying I always expect if we're going to win away from home to have to score two goals. I would generally expect us to concede. But in the first half, Ross County maybe had one chance.
There was one really good chance.
That was the only real chance I can think of. So
imagine my surprise.
I felt like we should definitely beat Huddley at half time, and I was pretty happy at half time. Greg, it felt like we were saying, was it just last week before the I can't even remember. I don't know if it was in the lead up to the semi final or when it was. It was that long since we had a game, but we're talking about we rarely lose games and don't play shite. Felt like the first half was one of the days where it was like, right, we're actually playing all right here, but we've not yet got the rewards.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I thought that, you know, we set ourselves up well for the second half. We give ourselves a platform. We were on the front foot going at half time. I would say they had one chance. We had a few, so I think that we were doing well. But the drastic change from the first half to the second half is incredible for me. I think it's mad.
Yeah, Harry, what did you make of the second half, or what your initial thoughts at the start of the second half anyway? Because I know there's a moment in the second half that you felt turned in the game. So remember prior to that, how were you feeling?
I actually thought that Cadden, I thought his crossing was excellent yesterday up to a certain point, and I thought that the second half he put a couple of really good balls in to start off, and I was actually confident we were going to go on and get a goal. I'm just going to let the cat out the bag now. I think the sub from Jack Ross is potentially the worst thing I've ever seen. Josh Campbell, as I said, was struggling out there. He's still young. If a player like that has not got much first-team experience and he's struggling and there's an obvious change, take him off the pitch. I didn't understand going like for like against Ross County away and taking a striker off when we need 3 points in that game. 1 point isn't acceptable, and we took a striker off for a striker. Fair enough, Kevin wasn't scoring, but if a striker's getting that many chances, he's going to put one of them away at some point. And then obviously the deliveries afterwards weren't as good when he went off the pitch, but maybe if he was on the pitch, he would have been getting on the end of them. Because as soon as he went off the pitch, we didn't create another chance the entire game. I think we had one shot for Boyle towards the end of the match, but Jack Ross absolutely killed that match yesterday with that substitution. That's the worst tactical move I've seen him make as a Hibs manager. I just thought it was absolutely terrible. It was staring him in the face what to do, and he absolutely bottled it.
The only thing I would ask there, we were saying like it was obvious with that. Obviously, that would have been a shift to 4-4-2, so you would have been looking at Cadden going left wing. I know he eventually went there anyway, but I think we've sort of accepted that we don't really want to see Cadden on the left hand side. Do you think
it was on the Rangers?
Have I made that up? But he never played on the left.
But was he over the left at one point against Rangers?
No, I played right wing back, huh? Too many venoms.
I'm getting
things confused.
But like, do you think it was almost like he took Nisbet off because he was like, well, I don't want to take Boyle off? And like, I know you're saying about Campbell, but in terms of the shape of the team, if he felt that was working, it was going to either be one or the other.
Well, why then bring Doyle John though, if it's working? He doesn't need to come on. It's not a necessity that he comes on. I would agree with Harry. I think he made the totally wrong call for me. I think that you could see that Campbell really was struggling out there. Possibly leggy after Sunday in the second half. I think that it's madness that he took off this. But especially when we need the win. Like, we need the win because look at the shit we're in. We needed a win and he went like for like with a striker. It made no sense to me.
We can benefit this one. We can debate this one until the cows come home, but ultimately hindsight tells us it was the wrong substitution. because we didn't score, we lost the game and Doidge got sent off. So,
aye.
Like, sorry to be captain obvious here, but it's a terrible substitution with the benefit of hindsight. It's not a good substitution.
I did say at the time.
Harry, you're one of about 10 people that I saw from half time onwards that said bring Doidge on for Campbell because it's not working for him right now. There were multiple people calling for it, and I don't think anybody really comes out with any credit because it wasn't a good substitution, it wasn't a good result, and what Doidge did ultimately was ridiculous and probably was deserving of a sending off. So I'm of a mind that this is going to sound terribly defensive of Jack Ross, but I'm of a mind that the options that were available to him on the bench last night, he clearly does not fancy. I think he felt like there was no other alternative last night than to bring Doidge on for Nisbet, because what else is on the bench? He doesn't want to play them. And James Scott didn't even fucking get fucking changed to the game. So we had Gullen sitting on the bench, who we know he doesn't fancy, and Doidge came on for Nisbet on his way back from injury, having been out for as long as he has. That's all he had last night. And he should be doing better with the players that he's got, but for me, I just think the squad is just, there was nothing there that really changed the game last night.
Yeah, I didn't mind the change. I would have liked to see them both be kept on, but I also think the next sub was Campbell for Scott Allen, you know what I mean? Like, and I think if Scott Allen was coming on, Nisbet wasn't already off, Nisbet would have been the player to make way. For me, as the game did progress, we've said it enough times over the last few months, in these shite games, you need someone like Christian Doidge. In the first half, I thought we were getting a lot of joy down the right-hand side. Cadden and Boyle were causing problems. We were getting the ball into the box. And like we said, Nisbet should have done better. In the second half, we didn't create any. And I don't think a game like that's a game for Nisbet. I don't think Nisbet's going to score you the scrappy goals. Whereas Christian Doidge, if you float a ball into the box, he can get on the end of things. But look, he didn't last night. Harry, Ross County's goal is an absolute clusterfuck from start to finish. Hibs should have had a pretty clear free kick as far as I'm concerned on Josh Campbell. The Hibs players lose their head, give away a silly free kick. It is a free kick in isolation. Neil is late on the late, but sort of just rash, and then even I think he tries to play advantage, and Jake Doyle Hayes was late on the same boy again, and the defending again is very, very poor. Where do you land on that goal, ref, Hibs, bit of both?
Well, the thing is, the referee's made a wrong decision, but what falls on from that isn't acceptable anyway. You can't have the ball go through three sets of players. And I don't know what Matt Macy's complaining about there, because he's equally at fault as all the outfield players, because the ball's right at him, he's just got confused. It's a shocking goal to concede. That Blair Spittle, as soon as he came on, I knew he was going to score like he hates Hibs. We were just, and it's one of those ones, one of those games, as soon as that hit the back of the net, you knew for a fact that was game over. That's kind of the mentality of this squad at the moment, which is shit. I think, to be honest, the reason I'm so pissed off is because that made me realise Hibs are in a very, very scary and precarious position at the moment, and I don't really see where we're getting our next win. And that goal kind of summarises all the problems that we've seen this season. Unfocused, uncoordinated and shite.
To make a point on Macy, man, he's probably going to predict what's coming here. But
here comes the Macy bashing.
In a very sort of stealth mode, he is turning in Simon Brown levels of performances in a very sort of stealth mode in this Hibs team, because there's so much shit going on elsewhere that everyone's distracted from how poor a goalkeeper he's been this season. He's cost us a number of points in the league this season through poor shot stopping, not coming for crosses, rank rotten distribution. He does some good things. Don't get me wrong, it's not all bad. But there's been some games where he's really let us down this season, and the difference, the drop-off from Marciano to him. And there's a lot of people who didn't like it when I was saying that Marciano was the best goalkeeper we've had for a number of years. I think we've seen this season the difference in quality. Actually, Simon Brown level's maybe a bit harsh, maybe more Chris Maxwell, give you a more up-to-date reference.
No, I definitely agree with the Marciano. It is a drop-off from Marciano, because I was huge also drop one, off. I was also one that said Marciano. Well, in my lifetime, Marciano, nobody else even comes close to Marciano and Hibs goalkeepers in my life.
Justice for Conrad.
Folk will say, oh, Conrad Logan or Daniel Anderson or that, but like their legacies at Hibs are based off of like one-off performances and penalty shootouts ultimately. Like, Marciano done it over a sustained period of, what, 4 years, four seasons, I think it was, maybe four or five seasons. Like, I don't know if I agree with Macy being that poor, I'll be honest, but then again, Liam, you're saying that it's going under the radar and maybe I'm just not noticing it. There is definitely goals that he could have done better with, and I think last night he could have done, but like, I think you see goals like that happen all the time. It's never a good look for goalkeepers, but you've got Cadden that could probably have done better to stop the cross. There was I think it might have been Jake Doyle-Hayes was sort of right behind him as well. He doesn't really do anything to stop it. Then it goes through Darren McGregor's legs. You know what I mean? Stop it at source, you know? You know what I mean? Like, but that's the issue I have with it personally. Greg, what did you make of the goal?
It's just the same shit, isn't it? Like, every week it's the same stuff. Like, do you know what? It actually doesn't even matter who's on the right side now. Like, I know a lot of it was Paul McGinn at the start of the season, but that there is incredibly bad. Like, nobody deals with it. Nobody takes responsibility. The goalie is flapping as per. There's just nothing. Like, it's not a difficult ball in the box to defend.
Do you think the... Was last night, pretend like you're like we're saying, like it's as per and stuff, but you look at the weekend, we must have defended, I don't know, fucking 100 crosses. Like, is it... I'm not criticising what you say. I'm agreeing with you. And do you think that performance last night is that stereotypical, just like that come down after a big game? Like, the concentration just goes, like, because again, we were decent in the first half, but the second half was really sloppy in the final third. Like Harry said, Chris, like, I think Cadden's crossing from the first half compared to the second half. Like, the second half just felt like that stereotypical, ugh, shite sort of sloppy, lack of concentration, lack of cohesion. We'll take a point here and move on to Saturday.
The drop off in performance level for the first half was massive, and that's my worry, is that we can drop off that much from one half to the next. We didn't really create a lot in the second half. We didn't defend well in the second half. They came at us knowing full well on Sunday we'd had a difficult game. A tiring game, but we didn't help ourselves. We didn't manage the game correctly. We let them come at us and didn't put up any sort of fight.
I don't agree that we let them. I feel like they didn't really create a chance until after we were down to 10 men. Out with the goal in the second half until after this red card, I don't remember them having a shot.
I might be wrong, but. I actually felt as soon as they came out in the second half that they were right at us and they were trying to take the initiative and they were trying to make things happen and we weren't really doing anything.
I feel like they had some free kicks and stuff, but like, I feel like we came away from a defeat last night, as poor as we were. I think we were more than good enough value for a draw. Obviously, if you don't take your chances, then no matter who you're playing in the league, if you don't take your chances, you're rightfully going to get punished, but I feel like if we had drew that game, you weren't going to come away from it saying, oh, that was daylight robbery.
I mean, we are scraping the barrel here, talking about being a draw against the worst team in the league. Ross County are comfortably the worst team in the league at the minute. And I say we did well the first half, but that doing well the first half and not scoring does not account for how bad we were the second half. And we didn't, like, there was no attempt to change it. We looked as though we were just quite happy treading water, drawing 0-0. Or getting beat. And the substitution tells you that, to be honest, we'll say we played for a draw, but we didn't exactly go and play for the win either. It wasn't a negative substitution, but certainly wasn't a positive one. So, yeah. I mean, that's where we find ourselves at this season. That's the reality where we're at, is that we're talking about being almost good enough for a draw away at the worst team in the league.
That's a championship level team. That Ross County team, there's nothing good about them at all. Every play that started for them is pish. That is a terrible football team they've got.
Still beat us, though. This is the issue, that we are that bad that we are getting beat of shit like that.
And to be honest, Harry, our bench is a championship level bench. And there's some starters in our team that are championship level. You want to talk about championship level, look at our bench. And now that's the definition of championship level, the players are on the bench. So we've got no divine right to be thinking we're going to beat a championship level team and we've got championship level players playing for us.
I don't think we've got championship level players in the starting 11. I don't agree with that at all.
Oh, Josh Campbell.
And
you know, there's a couple others. I'm not going to start digging players out, but there's a couple others who you probably won't figure out that are probably championship level.
Entirely championship. There's not much disagreement with the champion with the bench. Probably McGregor and Campbell, who I would say in that starting 11 are probably your non-regular starters, but I'd still say the rest of them are more than capable of performing at this level. When you look at the performance we put in Easter Road on the second game of the season against last night's opponents compared to last night, it's indicative.
A lot of them haven't performed for a long time though. This is so. Where does the issue actually lie then?
I don't want to get
too into it, but there's obviously an issue somewhere in the league that we can't perform to the correct levels, where we can't go out and win games like professional football players. Five straight defeats in a row, there must be something going on.
I know people will put the blame at the foot of Jack Ross, and he's definitely got to hold his hands up to a lot of it, but these players are capable of better, these players have played that system 100 times and played better. As far as I'm concerned, Jack Ross can't make Kevin Nisbet put that ball in the back of it on these chances.
You're right. I've slated him a lot on this podcast, but see, for me, individuals need to step up here. I mean, James Scott, Kevin Barnes to get himself fit. So therein lies the issue that players also have their own responsibility to make sure they're performing correctly. So it's not all fully on Jack Ross. The players are pathetic in the league, and they have been for the last 5 games.
Harry, where do you land on it just now? Like with what Greg's saying there, like the last sort of 5 games, Jack Ross, the players, it was interesting. The interviews after the game on Sunday, they all sort of mentioned letting Jack Ross down at various points last year and this year.
Being honest, I've made it clear that I've kind of always tried to shy away from the conversation. I've never been staunchly Jack Ross out. This morning, if I'd woke up, I was that angry. If I'd woke up and he was at the club, I wouldn't have cared. Obviously, football's a very reactionary sport, especially if you've travelled all the way up to Dingwall without seeing us put up a fight. It was really off-pissing.
I'm still spicking.
Were you pissed off or off-put?
I said, I'm fucking pissing on you. I know. In my mind, I don't see us beating St Johnstone, and I don't see us. I think Rangers will have the manager bounce by the time we play them. So it's a scary time to be a Hibs fan in terms of where we should be. We're not anywhere near it, and we're quite close to relegation, which is a scary thought.
Yeah, well, that's just the Johnstone preview battle. Done. I'll see you next week, lads.
It's been put out, and fuck, he's actually on the evening news. They said today that Hibs are appealing Christian Doidge's red card. Obviously, at the game, you wouldn't have had any view at all because you were behind the goals. Have you seen it back? What's your thoughts on Hibs are appealing it?
At the time, Christian Doidge kicked the ball, and then I was looking down the other end of the pitch for them to hoof it up, and then the referee stopped it. And next thing you know, Doidge was walking off the pitch. There wasn't any reaction from the players, so I assumed that he'd done something wrong. And the initial reaction was, what on earth's happened there? Because it literally didn't look like anything from our point of view, because there was just a few players in the way. But I can't be arsed looking at it back. I don't want to see that game. I want to kind of empty that film. The thing is, I keep a ticket for every single game, and I left my ticket there. I was like, I'm no fucking keeping that memory. I can burn in hell with Malcolm Mackay when he goes, the racist rat.
Liam, Greg, either of you, both of you, did you think it was a red card? Liam, in fact, you've already said you thought it probably was. Are you surprised Hibs are appealing it?
Yes.
Greg?
Stupid, deserved a red, to be fair. Don't know what he's doing.
Surprised the club are appealing it?
Another ludicrous decision from Hibs, put it that way.
Do you think we're appealing it so he can play at the weekend, expecting him to get the suspension, but the likelihood is Boyle will only get a one-game suspension, so it's almost a case of at least having one of them available for both games and maybe just feeling like the St. Johnstone game's a better game for Doidge. But do you think that, well, because the squad's that fucking thin, but right, we need one of the two of them available.
I'm glad he's had his jotters anyway. He's a waste of space, that idiot. Right? But I'll tell you something. If we're appealing that because so he can play at the weekend, we've got about another 40 games coming up before Christmas. Well, why don't we think about the bigger picture here?
It's ludicrous to even appeal that.
You can see that he's kicked out after. So I don't get it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The only reason I can think we're appealing it is so he's available for the weekend. And then, honestly, do you know what? Wouldn't they surprise me? Genuinely, wouldn't they surprise me? If Kevin Nisbet got hooked for Doidge last night because he had a knock and we need to have Doidge available at the weekend and we've not got another striker.
Oh, maybe that's why James Scott didn't he? Maybe he's managed to get off his arse and actually go out for a fucking jog for the night fucking get himself in shape for the weekend. Honestly, see on the James Scott thing, and only just occurred to me because Greg mentioned it earlier on, where do you think he'd stand in terms of paying his wages? Because if he's not fit to play, what would we be paying a contribution towards his wages at Hull for? Because if you were in any other job and you weren't fit to work and just said, I'm not fit to work because I'm no bothered to get myself fit to work, You wouldn't get paid.
Aye. It is. It's an interest.
Hibs will still be paying his full wages, let's be honest. Not his full wages, but the full percentage of what we've agreed. And to be honest, Nathan Wood was away the day. James Scott should be away ASAP Rocky, for as far as I'm concerned.
It was an interesting one, Nathan Wood being away at this time. Like, I don't know if he's got a knock as well, and it was just one of them. Well, I just fuck off back to Middlesbrough.
In Edinburgh, apparently.
Really? Is that? I've not even read the statement.
It wasn't in the statement, but apparently he didn't like up here.
I wouldn't like up here either.
It'd be like Phil Airy got homesick for fucking 2 hours away. Went back to Newcastle, 2 hours down the road, he's homesick.
To be honest, had that performance against the United, did they fancy it because he's not good enough?
Yeah, well, we've definitely seen that before. Look, and then Martin Boyle got sent off for mouthing off at the referee.
By the way, that ref was an absolute wank. Should have smacked him one. That ref was that's the worst referee performance I've seen this season. That genuinely was. That was worse than
that. That definitely would have helped us, Harry.
I mean, fair play. I'll be insulted. I'll be insulted his mum. I'll be just absolutely ripped into the gimp because that referee was a loser and deserved to be called out for it.
He was a total nobody as well. Who is he? Yeah. Like,
I think someone put in one of the group chats I'm in, it was his fourth top flight match.
It was the fourth, told
Hecky to fuck off in the derby and Hecky knocked his teeth out if it was on the street.
That's five top flight games too many for him then, isn't it?
I don't like to dig people out for their appearance. So I'm not going to go in too hard on him, but I've got a real issue with referees that are not in shape. Like your literal job is to run for 10 miles every week. What are you doing with yourself the rest of the time that you're not in shape? Like it should just be the absolute basics. He looked like he was blowing out his arse when the TV was panning him at points last night, and I was like, fucking hell, he's struggling to keep up with the play. It was like watching a Sunday league referee at points, based on the decisions and based on.
I'm assuming that's because there'll be a couple of the good ones away being fourth officials and all that in the European
good
games.
Good ones. I use that term very fast. Scottish referees.
The beatings and columns and that tend to get called up.
There's no good ones. The ones that are in the in crowd and the ones that aren't in the in crowd. That's
still on the Rangers payroll then.
Aye, but you know what I mean. The ones that'll be a chunk of them will be away doing various bits and bobs for UEFA this week, whether it's sitting in the VAR room or being the cunt behind the goal if they still do that, whatever. But
or be at Ibrox without the crowd, depends.
The thing is as well, we're saying the ref was shite, but we agree with both red cards ultimately, don't we?
I agree with the red card. I disagree with Greg. I think Tilson's was a red card.
I've watched it so many times. No, that's the thing. I agree. That's like
if the leading leg catches him, it ends up being the trailing leg that catches him. The leading leg catches him, it's all right. I mean, it's as bad a challenge as you get. It's over the ball. He's just lucky that he doesn't make contact with him.
I'll just judge. I effectively am using the Ryan Porteous red card as my judging stick for fucking everything these days. And he made more contact with the player than Ryan Porteous did. So
the angle as well, because Porteous came directly to the ball. That guy came directly over the ball.
The point I was making was we're no sitting saying the ref was shit. We agree with the red cards for the Hibs players. I would say, look, we know Boyle was probably within his rights to say, but you can't do that to referees, especially referees like that when they've clearly got a fucking arse up their stick. But the arse up their stick, fuck's sake. Look, anyway, so it looks like Christian Doidge is going to be available for the weekend. Martin Boyle's not going to be. Team selection, what are you thinking, Harry?
Well, one thing that we didn't touch on, I think that based on the worst, like the moment in the game that made me even angrier than the goal, Scott Allen had the ball 20 yards out and decided to do a roulette, I was fuming. I wanted him hooked off. I didn't care if there wasn't another sub.
They nearly scored after that, eh?
They went up and nearly scored. They should have scored. Because to be fair, after we got the red, they just absolutely attacked us and they should have hit us for 4 or 5. But that for Scott Allen was absolutely unacceptable. If Dre Wright done that, imagine Dre Wright done that. But no, because he's got nice hair, he gets away with it. Scott Allen shouldn't be anywhere near the starting lineup until he grows up, because that was absolutely embarrassing. We're getting beat off fucking Ross County and he's trying to do pirouettes in the fucking 20 yards out. I don't care what the team selection is, as long as Scott Allen doesn't start after that. I was ready to go fight in the Ross County fans.
You'd had some work fighting a fight with Ross County fans, mate.
All three of them.
They're so nice up there. Like seeing the Mallard and that. What a place. What a place.
Oh, grow up, Harry, yeah.
No, I'm on the Mallard.
Hey, look, well, Harry, back to the actual question I asked you. Team selection on Saturday.
I didn't even care. You didn't really have much choice apart from the team that started. I wouldn't start Campbell, I wouldn't start Allen.
Poachers back in Doidge for the start.
I dig in if Doidge deserves to start after that. That was pitiful. He came on, played shit, and then got sent off.
You've said Josh Campbell's not started. You've said
the thing is
Kyle McGinnis is injured.
There's not much options. Just throw a random young player in. I'm not going to say I know enough about Ethan Laidlaw or Josh O'Connor to say they deserve a start, but we need something different. Because see, the thing is, the reason that Josh Campbell done so well against Rangers, it's not because of his ability, it's because he just wanted to go out there and give his all, and he did, and that's why he played so well. Just give another youngster a chance to actually go out there and put their heart on the line. Because that's the thing with Kevin Nisbet. Like, I actually thought, the reason I was so frustrated is because Kevin Nisbet actually looked active. He looked like he wanted to get on the ball and get shots away. He didn't do particularly well with them, but he was still getting on the end of them. And we need some form of energy, and that's the problem. There's just no energy in the team, and that's what Campbell brought on Sunday and didn't he bring yesterday. We just need someone that will go in and then actually be in space to take the ball, even if they do nothing with it. At least they'll get the team up the pitch. But we can't keep playing with this championship standard squad.
I do think there's a difference. So like Campbell has played a full campaign at League Two, you know, like he's got football under his belt. No, but there's football under his belt, is what I mean. Like, you know what I mean? He's played in the Championship a wee bit with Arbroath. He played League One with Alloa, I think. Like, you know, he has played some, you know, like you're talking about chucking in, I don't even know what age, 17. Like, I've literally never.
They've not played against a man. Like, and they're going to come up against three St Johnston centre halves who are very streetwise and who will. They're limited. They would just like eat that up playing against O'Connor and Laidlaw. It's a no from me. It's a hard one.
The question: what are you thinking team wise? Ryan Porteous back in, Doidge for the
start. Dabrowski in goals. Porteous back in. Like, I've been calling for it, but maybe it's time to resurrect the Dre Wright, Melker Halberg up top.
Maybe it was, to be honest.
Genuinely, the one thing that we've probably not thought about this season is not Martin Boyle in the starting 11, and due to self-inflicted reasons, he's not going to be there. So I'd assume we'll go to a flat 4, with then Cadden on the right-hand side, either a 3 up top or a flat 4 in midfield as well. You know, I'd imagine the defence picks itself again.
Does it?
Well, McGinn, Hanlon, Poitras, Doig.
Oh, that's right, because Matthew didn't recruit anyone else. Useless. Hopeless. But to be honest, the defence we've got is shit and can't defend crosses anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Genuinely, though, if we didn't have Dan McGregor, we'd be relying on 16. He might have turned 17 now. 16-year-old Jack Bryden.
He's out on loan.
He's out on loan.
Civil service strollers or something, isn't he?
Yeah.
So we are relying on John Potter.
Yeah. John Potter, Jack Ross at the back. Opinions. Like, who would you have first? I'd probably have John Potter first, to be fair.
Jack Ross, I think.
Nah, Jack Ross is... Nah. Terrible.
The old slip Alex Gogic back into centre-half conversation's going to come back up at some point between the end of the season, isn't it?
if I see any of that, I'm done. I'm finished.
Nah, seriously, boys,
we're being serious. This is a problem.
Can we try and piece a team together? Look, the back four probably will be that. What I just said, I think we would agree with that. Midfield, what are we looking?
Josh Doig again, man. He's such a difficult watch. Like, I would honestly much rather have Stevenson in there if we're going to a flat four.
Do you know what this squad's like? I know Harry plays Football Manager. This squad is like when all your players are away on an international break, and for some reason they've given you a fixture and you can't reschedule the fixture, and they've only let you postpone the game, and you've just got all the shite that's not being called up for international duty available. That's what this team
says. It's like Jake Doyle Hayes standing at centre back the other day. Absolute brutal scenes on the Football Manager.
But it's a fucking league game on a Saturday at 3 o'clock when they cut up for international duty. It's just
you put in the chat last night. You think we'll get something out of the game on Saturday? You please explain where that madness has come from.
Show your workings.
How many pit sticks did you sniff before you put that mess in the chat?
Right. Macy and goals, Doig left back, Hanlon, Poitras, McGinn, Cadden, Doyle Hayes, Newell, fucking Jamie Gullen left mid, Christian Doig, Kevin Nisbet up front, 4-4-2, have a bit of a go. And I think we can... I think what the reason... My justification is, I think we're bad, but I think St Johnstone are worse.
Overrunning the midfield FC for me. Like.
I think we'll keep a clean sheet and we'll sneak a goal. I think I'm a win 1-0.
Stop blue sails and Falkirk, man. This boy is at it now.
Nah, what'd you call that? See that left side? Adam Rooney will be like Mr. Mosby against Zach and Cody in that left side, by the way. You'll absolutely bitch the entire game.
Adam Rooney, Sully Hull.
Gullen and Doig against Adam Rooney.
Adam Rooney doesn't have to be a dick.
Shut up, man. It's Sean Rooney.
Oh, Sean Rooney. Who did I say?
Adam Rooney.
On the Salford.
He's
at Solly Hulls now. Good one, Harry.
It shows where we're at with the fucking squad. Maybe James Scott is fit. Maybe James Scott.
He should never play for us again. Shaley never play for us again. Get him out, Sharon.
I'll be honest. I think Christian Doig is a guaranteed start of the weekend. I think there's a reason that we can't think that's getting overturned.
What makes you think that the SPFL won't hear that tomorrow?
I don't think there's the time.
The compliance officer, fucking the cushiest job in the world.
That'll be
their one job tomorrow.
It'll be
clocking 8 hours worth of work.
I don't know. I thought it was. Generally, well, just tends to be the case that midweek ones, if they get appealed, they tend to then be available at the weekend.
Is that not just for Rangers when there's an old fun game?
I mean, look, it's just I just don't see, because I'm on the same wavelength as yous three, I don't see it being overturned. So there must be a reason, unless the club genuinely think it'll be overturned. I don't know if they can say, well, how the fuck did that cunt not get sent off for that? But like I said earlier in the season, that isn't how these things work. So I think there has to be a reason that we've tried to overturn it. And that's genuinely the only reason I can see why, because I don't see any way that it is. Like, it's the only reason I can think of it. Because why would they not try and appeal the Boyle one as well? Like, I genuinely think it's the fact that we want to have Doidge available for the weekend, and then Boyle, I think I looked at the, I was listening to Sports Sound last night, and they said Boyle will get a match ban for foul and abusive language, so he'll be available.
There's a one match ban I've seen someone put up on the SFA website, but that means nothing, that could change.
The only worry I would have with appealing it is, can you know sometimes get an extra game if you appeal it?
Give them an extra game.
Nah, it's only if like it's terrible, because like that's them watching it and being like, oh no, that's on hindsight.
That,
I don't think it's that bad.
It's violent conduct, isn't it?
I think it used to be that if you appeal that you would get an extra game, but I'm sure they removed that.
Nah, but anyway, look, that's the my theory is anyway. Why Hibs are fucking doing it. Otherwise, I don't get it. Score predictions, I've given mine 1-0 Hibs.
2-0 St Johnstone at the least.
1-0 St Johnstone. All over it. If it's not 1-0 St Johnstone, I'd be very surprised.
Addy?
I'll be positive. 0-0.
You don't have to be positive. I've said 1-0. look, I think it'll be the first game where this season where none of us are going to be able to make the game unless circumstances change on Saturday morning. So our streak of at least one of us being at the game...
I might be going.
I had plans for Saturday that have now been moved to Sunday, but there's costs involved. So it'll be a Saturday morning decision for me. And when it's a Saturday morning decision, it tends to end up in me being in the car on my way at 12:30.
Greg, if anyone thinks I'm going to go watch Hibs attempt to defend crosses for 90 minutes in St Johnstone in November, you're having a laugh.
Greg, you'll be there. I'll text you. I'll be working on you at work tomorrow.
Tell you what, I'll wait until the start of 11 comes out, and if Paul Hadland said it, I will not be there.
What? After all that? After the whole... It just got back to
Paul. I was so nice to him on Monday night, but he just let himself down again last night.
Nah, look, lads, it was... any more to add on the back of that? I don't think so.
I really want to ask the question, but I was told no.
No, you can ask
go for it.
Right, many defeats on road to get before he goes.
Look, as far as I'm,
I would just say five.
I'll answer first. I think at the stage we are in the season, the state of the squad, the circumstances dictate that he's not going to get the sack. I genuinely think we could lose every game at the final, and he'd probably still be in charge.
I think Hibs will give him the final regardless of what happens at all.
I think sometimes as well you've got to look at what he's working with. I think he should still be doing better. But like you say, he's turning to his bench now and going, well, what the fuck am I bringing on here? And then for me, like you say, I think it's time that our big players start standing up, like we said earlier.
I absolutely think that it's on the players as well. I'm just curious because obviously I think opinions have changed.
I think my opinion could be different in a week. I think if we get back-to-back defeats on Saturday and Wednesday, which ultimately is realistic, my opinion next Thursday, when no doubt we'll be recording again after the Rangers game, my opinion may well be different. Liam, your face there just summed up the thought of the next two games perfectly.
Aye. And then we've got Motherwell at home, Livy away, and Dundee at home. I mean, we just have to win one of those games. There's no excuse for not winning one of those games. I could genuinely see us losing the next two, it being seven league defeats in a row. And I think he will still be there after that. But if he doesn't get a win from the Motherwell, Livy or Dundee game, St Mirren game, St Mirren away. I mean, there's no game right now that looks like an easy game for us, the way we're playing. That's the thing. Like last season, I would have faith in us maybe going to Tony Macaroni and getting 3 points. But this season, right now, it feels really, really hard to see it. But sometimes all it takes is a win. Sometimes all it takes is a win to just... We had a win on Sunday.
We had a win.
What am I talking about? all it takes is a win in the league. I don't know. I just don't know. There's just so many games and they're coming at such a bad time for us. Like, we need the 1st of January to come now and we need there to be no fixtures, but instead the SPFL are just giving us fixtures galore.
But just, Harry, before you mention Jack Ross... We know there's two players coming in on the 1st of January already, and Dylan Tate and Chris Mueller. Genuinely, Liam, just for anyone that's listening, not had a look, go and look at Liam's Twitter. He put out a really good thread of some of his thoughts on Twitter earlier. But how many players should we bring in January? Each year, I reckon we'll be bringing in 5 or 6, not including the 2 that are already coming in.
As long as it's nobody, Paddy Finland, bring them all on the last day of the January transfer window.
No, no, I would expect by the time, because we've got a 2-week break, right? Is it we play Hearts on the 3rd, then we've got a 2-week break? I think by the time we come back for the 2-week break, we'll have at least 4 in.
I want to have 3 players available at the start before the Hearts game, and we've already got 2, so we need to get a centre back in before that game that can start.
Genuinely think we'll see 7 or 8 coming in January.
Do you reckon we'll see a few?
I think we'll see a lot better. But the wooden Scott, absolutely. I think Dre Wright will go. I think Jamie Gullen will possibly leave permanently or go on loan until his contract's up. I think Scott Allen will probably go.
Do you think he'll leave, or do you think he'll just retire at the end of the season?
I think Scott Allen will try and go and get a payday somewhere. But I don't think his future's at Hibs. His future's not Hibs.
I think Halberg, Josh Campbell, Hallberg,
Sean Mackey. I mean, there's 7 or 8 guys I'm coming up with just off the top of my head that could go. And I think we'll probably see 7 or 8 come in. Genuinely think we'll see. And there'll be a couple of loan signings in there because it's January and quite often that's what's available. But then I think there'll be quite a number of permanents as well. Dan McKay probably go out on loan as well because he's not going to get minutes here to get him back up to speed. There'll be a lot of comes and goes in January. It'll be like a Terry Butcher window.
I honestly think with some of the outgoings, if there's like 5 or 6 outgoings, we could see up to 11 players coming in. In my opinion, I think there needs to be an overhaul because this right now is grim. This is shit. So I think there needs to be a massive overhaul in January. We need to pick up again after the winter break. But this is horrific. This is possibly on a par with Butcher. This is how bad this is. And do you know what? You've all got your own opinions, but this is horrific.
The difference with Butcher was he took over when we were mid-table and took us to the bottom of the league, whereas Jack Ross had us in the top 4 and we're now in the middle of the league. So over the current run we're in just now, it matches the Butcher era. So you're right in saying that the last 5 games in the league do, but like overall of the season, did we win 4 games under Butcher? I don't know.
How about this run of form at the moment?
No, enough.
Purely concentrating on that is
Saturday's
reminiscent.
Saturday is massive. Saturday is absolutely massive. If we can scrape
say that every week. This is generally where we are. We say that every week. Saturday's massive. Next game's massive. We say every week. But this is the issue that we've got.
I don't know if you think this is too strong a statement, but I think we're a Kyle McGuinness away from an acceptable squad. Like, not acceptable long-term, but acceptable to see us into December. I think Kyle McGuinness being put back in the midfield is enough to win us points.
I think
the way we played at the start of the season with him compared to now without him is literally craziness. I've never seen a team drop off so much because of one player not being in it.
I think
Kyle McGuinness, we would never have lost 5 games on the bounce. Never.
That is quite a strong opinion, to be fair. Like, Kyle McGuinness does not defend crosses, Harry, so I don't really see where you're coming from.
I think it's a valid point in the sense that you say, like, what Liam, I think combined with a couple of factors, but I think what Liam said earlier about the bench, the standard they play on the bench right now, and that's where January is going to be massive as well. Look, I think we all know that even the team, like, look at the starting 11 we put out against Rangers, right? It's a good team. No, like, that's a team capable of finishing top 4. That starting 11 is capable of finishing top 4. Ultimately, that starting 11 pretty much did last year, minus 1 or 2. Like, but so maybe that if McGuinness is fit, then there's a better option on the bench. Like if Doidge, obviously, he was back for a full half second. But for me, that's tying into January. That's where January's huge. I'm not sure we'll see loads of players coming in that are necessarily going to start every week. But we've seen it time after time. Players play better when they've got kept competition. You know, like, we've seen it so often and. Just having play, like, I'm excited to see what Chris Mueller can do. I think we could do him fucking right now, because that's a position, especially with Boyle's suspension, that we're lacking on. But anyway, Harry, we've totally digressed there. Greg's question on Jack Ross's future. You did highlight it earlier, but where are you at with him?
I didn't really care at this point. I like Jack Ross. I think the job he's done overall at Hibs has been good. I'm not in the camp of, oh, he beat a crap league to third. I think that's shite. I think that his cup record's very impressive, even though we didn't win cups. I think that getting to four semi-finals, it is four, is a very impressive. Wait, is it four or five or five now? He's literally not got to...
I think he's got a 50-50 record at Hampden now. Or if he wins the final, he'll have a 50-50 record at Hampden, one of the two.
But because Hibs in the past, like, we've seen us get beat off the likes of Ayr, God knows what other teams, and Pish, and absolute dregs, like, beating all these stuffy crap teams away from home and that we've beaten across the years. Even though we are getting favourable draws, you still have to win them. But, yeah, you can't lose seven games in a row. You can't still be manager, in my opinion. I don't want to be Jack Ross out, but I think after the Rangers game, I might be.
Well, that is a negative way to finish. But no, I find that pretty much summarises where they are. It was a hell of a come down from Sunday on Wednesday night, and it is a big, big game on Saturday. We'll be back on Monday night to pick the bones of it as per usual, and then we're at home on the Wednesday night, so it'll be a quick turnaround, and then probably have a second episode out this time next week as well. So, aye, we'll be back next week, boys. Thank you for coming on and chatting, as much as it's been depressing as fuck, but thank you very much for coming on. Cheers.
Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.